But David, just going back into what we started the interview with, something we agree on.
Yeah, it seems a long time ago. We've been a few places since, Alex, haven't we?
We have, but U.S. mulling how to delay or cancel November vote in case of attack. We've got Ridge in front of camera feeds. Oh, Big Brother, it'll keep you safe. Saying, you know, we may have to suspend the election. Martial law might be needed. This is openly being discussed. I mean, how much more in your face, folks, does it need to get? Then you look at the evidence of who's behind Al-Qaeda and who's behind 9/11. That is totally provable, not debatable. Where do you see this going, David?
Well, obviously, 9/11, like Oklahoma, as I think you mentioned earlier, is not it. It's the stage on the road to it. And there are more stages on that road to come because they have a time scale which is, you know, not a million years from now, and they have to push this on if they're going to get it into place. One of the key things they need to get into place, and is in so many ways the jewel in their crown, is the microchip. And I understand it's been a few weeks in America. They now have the chipmobiles going around chipping people.
Yeah, they have. That's the AP. They have chipmobiles, and they're going to sell it as a fad to the young people. Rebel against your parents. Get it?
Yeah.
David, they are now moving to put it in special forces. They're now all over the children's publications and TV shows promoting it. Why do they want that chip so bad?
Well, interestingly, back in 1997, I was asked through a third party to meet a guy who was a scientist with the CIA, who joined the CIA genuinely thinking he was serving his country in his early 20s. He was a genius in the area of magnetics and various other cutting-edge technology. And he asked to meet me to try to get out what was going on, because he couldn't, for reasons that became very rapidly clear. He was telling me that when he rebelled against what he realized he was being asked to do, which was to use his genius to advance his agenda, which he very soon realized existed, left home one day refusing to work anymore, and he has missing time. He then remembers waking up on a medical type bench in a room, and when he got his faculties back, he felt something on his chest. And as he was telling me this story, he was opening his shirt, and on his chest was this, I can only describe it as a see-through plastic shampoo sachet with an orangey golden liquid in it. And apparently he was saying in the CIA they call these patches, and what they do is manipulate people like him who are rebelling, scientists whose knowledge and ability they need, to have their bodies to need the drug in the patch to survive. And if the body doesn't get this drug, then they start to die, and it's a long and painful death.
Well, that's actually an old program used hundreds of years ago where they put a poison into you where only they know the secret antidote. You've got to serve them or you die. That's actually confirmed.
Right, exactly. And it's amazing, Alex, when you do look at ancient history, just how many of the concepts that, I guess, you know, these Illuminati bloodlines have passed through history, they've taken the same concepts with them, only that the nature of the way they express themselves is changing. If something works, why check, why, you know, change what their technique? And it's absolutely right, yes, they are using the same technique today. And anyway, what he said was these patches have to be replaced every 72 hours. So, and he said there are endless numbers of scientists in the secret projects who are patched. And another thing that they do is when they think that they've got everything from the scientists that they could possibly get, then they don't replace the patch because they want the guy to disappear without the ability to tell the story.
Well, let me stop you right there, David, because you told me
the microchip agenda in 1997, which is very interesting.
Go ahead.
Yeah, he said that even in 1997, and we've seen some evidence of that since, he said outside the public arena, microchips are so small they can be inserted in a hypodermic needle during vaccination programs. And he said even people who have become aware of the microchip don't realize the full magnitude of it. It's not just an electronic tag, although that's definitely one level of it. He said, to me, again, 1997, it's not the messages going from the chip to the computer that are the prime reason for it, or it's one. It's the the messages coming the other way. He said that they can isolate the microchip, take someone out physically through it. They can manipulate individuals or do en masse manipulations of
our... Let me stop you. Let me stop you. In my film, Road to Tyranny, I have a CBS News clip from 2000 where they say they're going to do this, and now they have the system, if you're depressed, this is the Associated Press,
right?
They put a wire into the brain to make you feel better, David. Once we have the wire, we won't be so crazy anymore.
Right.
So they're openly now, so all this stuff that we talked about years ago is now right out in the open. We're about to go to calls because people have been really patient.
Okay.
But that's something, see, real and tangible, where they're all over the news saying every child needs one. Oh, this is so great. And then DARPA comes out a few months ago in the Baltimore newspaper and in the Boston paper and says, oh, we're going to put towers up to control your minds, and we're going to have Coke machines that project audio into the brain. You know, this is incredible. And they're really doing it.
The other thing the scientists said, by the way, was that they would use the excuse of replacing credit cards and credit card fraud with microchips holding your financial details. And just a few months ago, I'm sure you know, this company, which used to be watched like a hawk, Applied Digital Solutions, came out and said that they wanted to replace credit cards with their microchips. So, like we said throughout this chat, Alex, what has been predicted is now in our face. It's now happening. It's not in the future. It's here.
Well, absolutely. It's here, folks. Mike in Arizona. Mike, you're on the air. Go ahead. Thanks for holding.
Yeah, thanks, Alex. Does Mr. Ike have any speaking engagement in Arizona or anywhere out in the West?
No, I spoke in Los Angeles two weeks ago, but nothing in that area since after that, no. But I'm open to any offers, you know.
All right. My other question is, I'm new to your literature. You speak of reptiles. Now, is that some kind of metaphor or code? And if so, you don't need to elaborate. I think I understand. But if it's not, if you're talking about these in a literal sense, I'd like you to elaborate.
Well, two things to that. First of all, in a literal sense, yes, not as a metaphor. When you're talking about something that is so way out, so fantastic, even to people who are opening their minds to things that other people are still closed to, then if I talked about it in the time we have left, then it would not do it justice. I mean, I've got a book, Children of the Matrix, which is 500-600 pages talking about this. That's what it takes to present this in a logical way. If you're talking in short clips, I mean, of course it's going to sound ridiculous. Of course it is. Just like, you know, once it was ridiculous to say the Earth was round, and unless it could be explained at length, then, you know, have you heard of the law of gravity and all this stuff? It sounded ludicrous to people at that time who didn't know about the laws of gravity. So,
well, I mean, I'll put it in a nutshell and tell me if you think I'm wrong. And again, I don't go there. I don't go into flying saucers. I don't go into stuff I can't prove. I stick to, it's hard enough that they're on the news saying every child needs a microchip. But basically, there's these interdimensional rulers of our planet that run the Illuminati as their servants. And that's basically what you're saying, Mr. Reich?
Yeah, I'm saying that this age-old term or concept, which is very much still there today,
the serpent in the garden,
the possession, people being possessed by other dimensional entities which take over their mental and emotional processes, is what is ultimately behind the Illuminati, and that these interbleeding Illuminati bloodlines, going back to the ancient world, are obsessed with holding their particular genetics because it makes this possession easier. And a lot of this stuff takes place in the very rituals that you've exposed yourself.
But then you get into the Bible, says that, you know, these people serve the devil, that the children of the devil. And real quick, though, and again, I don't even get into that because I can't prove it. I believe the Bible. I just don't get into it because it's so amazing. Mike, anything else?
Well, it just strikes me as rather curious that that he doesn't believe in Jesus, who's, I think, pretty well documented, but he does believe in reptiles, who most of us haven't had any experience with.
All right.
Don't believe something else then, mate. That's real simple. the evidence on both sides of some argument and really look at the evidence rather than just say, yes, everyone knows that. It's a mistake a lot of people make. Because everyone knows actually very little. I think 90-odd% of what people believe is actually in the end not
well,
true.
David, you know what people say. David,
and believe what you want
David,
to believe and respect someone else's right to believe something
David,
different. It's so simple.
David, you know what people say about you, though. They say that you bring out all this stuff that's documented that I can prove, and then you add stuff like the reptiles, the reptoid rulers, onto it, then psychologically discrediting all the real stuff.
Well, they'll just have to believe that. So I am interested in what is happening in the world. I am not limited by a belief system, and I'm not limited by caring what other people think about me and worrying about whether people will ridicule what I say. I'm just interested in what's going on.
Well, I'm interested, David.
Make of it what you will. What you make of it is up to you.
Yeah, I'm interested, sir.
What people think of me is
sir,
none of my business.
I'm interested in scientifically proving the things I say, which I can do, and then convincing rational people. And I'm saying with some of the stuff you add to this ice cream sundae you've built that I'm saying is real and based on reality, so you put the cherry on top. And I don't agree with the cherry you put on top. I tell you what, stay there. We got a break. We'll come back, jam a few more calls in here. PrisonPlanet.tv is the website, folks.
Waging war on corruption. Alex Jones on the GCM Radio Network.
All right, a news blitz with some top info coming up in the next segment. We're going to keep David a little bit in the next segment to finish up with the callers we've got on hold. But quickly, callers, have your question, your comment, and David, try to keep the answer short if you can to get to everybody. Brooke in Rhode Island, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, Alex, thanks a lot. Great to speak to David. In defense of David, I have a comment to make on the flack he's been taking about reptilians. I don't know if you're aware of the fact, but the American Medical Association and the New England Journal of Medicine, or School of Medicine, throughout the 90s has said that one part of the human brain is reptilian.
Well, no, sir. Look, that's just science that you got really three brains, and the one down that's attached to your spinal cord is a crocodile brain. It's almost identical and has the same makeup.
Well, who's to say that the bloodlines, the aristocratic bloodlines, don't have more reptilian DNA in them? And also,